B-Pod Studios.
Hey, down there on the Gulf Coast. You want to take care of business? There is only one way to go. How you doing, everybody? I'm Chet Coppin. You got to check in every day with Stan and Haney. There is no tag team in North America that can match up to these two guys. Let me tell you something. They're Secretariat at the Derby. They're Babe Ruth in the Devilness. They're Johnny Unitas throwing touchdown passes. Stan and Haney, they are like nobody else.
Chet Coppin, the larger-than-life sportscaster who practically invented sports talk radio as we know it, died of injuries suffered in a car accident. He was known as the godfather of Chicago sports. The New Trier High School graduate interviewed nearly every important sports figure, from Ditka to DiMaggio, from Sweetness to Stallone, and from Magic to Michael. His colorful career even included stints announcing roller derby and professional wrestling. He was influential and inimitable, charismatic and controversial. Over a half a century, he was responsible for a prolific output in broadcast and print journalism. He would tell radio callers, your dime, your dance floor. And he would tell you his honest analysis, even if it wasn't what Chicago fans wanted to hear.
Your final score on Sunday at Soldier Field, this breaks my heart to say it, New Orleans 24, Chicago Bears 20.
There may never be another like him, a pioneer and a Chicago legend.
It is always a pleasure to have this guy on. From the windy city of Chicago, our buddy, Chet Coppin.
Never heard of the bum. All this time, I thought that song you were playing was by the Hansons.
Don't even bring that up.
What are you talking about? The hockey players from the Newman movie?
God, Slapshot. Do you realize that was released, 21 years ago?
I know.
And it's incredible.
You know,
the game hasn't gotten any better.
Special movie to my heart because I actually played with Steve Carlson, who's in that movie. It's one of the Hanson brothers.
Uh-huh.
Had the privilege of playing with him when I was in high school.
Well, we're talking about Stan and Haney. We're talking about the Golden Boys. We're talking about the men from the land down under. What have you guys been up to of late, fellas? Come on, give it to me right here to Uncle Chester.
You know who we were hanging out with today was Dwight Stevenson.
Oh, my gosh. Let me tell you about Dwight. If he had played three, 4 more years, he not only would have been looked upon as the greatest center in the history of the National Football League, which he may well be, he might have been looked upon as the greatest offensive lineman in the history of the NFL.
That's
how good this guy was.
Well, he sure as hell made it count while he was there.
Darn right he did.
We're doing this appearance with Dwight Stevenson today. A guy comes up to us, wants a K-Rock t-shirt, and Stan says, you know, Hall of Famer Dwight Stevenson is over there. He goes, oh, well, I don't like the Dolphins. If Brett Favre ain't here, I don't care.
This is the mentality of people.
But let me know, when are you guys going to be having a special and give me something I can put in my trailer park?
That's it. Oh, man. We can talk all we want about Chicago Bears football, Dolphin football, Hall of Famers. The thing I want to get out of you, The Undertaker, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Are we got a war on our hands here?
I got to tell you, I think the storyline that Vince McMahon has created, in which he's now, you know, Mr. McMahon, and he's put himself in the center of all this, is just classic.
Oh, he's
Eric
the best
Bischoff
villain.
Couldn't pull it off, but Vince McMahon can because Vince has such great body language. And he's so gosh darn verbal. I was looking at a picture the other night that was taken at the Nassau County Coliseum up in Uniondale, Long Island, when I was living in New York. My little boy Tyler, when he was 7 years old, he's now 9, standing next to The Undertaker. I'm telling you, it's the funniest picture you've ever seen in your life. Here's The Undertaker with this, you know, this glare and these big moody eyes. Here's my little boy, 7 years old, with this big, big smile on his face. You know, it looks like one little boy is going to be a model for a Wonder Bread commercial, and the other guy is about to walk to the chair.
I'm telling you, WWF wrestling right now is so hugely popular.
Well, people who like WWF wrestling, first of all, Mike Ditka. And I just wrote an intro, as a matter of fact. Bert Randolph Sugar, writing his umpteenth book, gave me a call about, a month ago on a Thursday and said, Chester, I need your help. And I said, Bertram, anything. What can I do for you, buddy? And he went, I'm writing a brand new book, and I'd like to have you write the foreword. And I said, well, what's the book? And he went, An Idiot's Guide to Professional Wrestling by Captain Lou Albano. I said, Bert, I'm really flattered that you would allow me to be involved in a journalistic endeavor that is so so classy and so stylish. And I said, when do you want the forward? And he went, well, how's tomorrow?
Wow.
So anyway, I went ahead and wrote it. They had a great time doing it, and it gave me a chance to reflect and think about a lot of memories. I've been a wrestling fan for, 35 years.
I know you have. You love the sport of wrestling.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's great theater. I've walked out of baseball games, bored the tears. I've walked out of football games, completely yanked off. I have never walked out of a wrestling card unhappy.
Well, Chet, assuming that there will be a basketball season, what's the word up in Chicago as to what's going to happen there?
The general consensus up here is that Michael Jordan will not play. I don't buy that for a moment. The guy went through the retirement thing once already, tried baseball and found no satisfaction, and also couldn't hit the curveball. And I think Michael realizes that, it's going to be tough to walk away from the kind of adulation that this guy receives, 9 days a week, 475 days a year. So my feeling is Jordan will come back with a one-year deal for, something in the vicinity of $40 million. And Pippen, who is now somewhat damaged goods because of the second back surgery, will also come back with Michael, operating on a two-year contract for about, let's call it 26 to 28 million. And hey, by the way, I was up in Montreal, and you want to die? I was staying at the Radisson on the 27th floor with my family. Who is directly above us?
I don't know.
Taping a series for Fox. Dennis Rodman.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I'm in the lobby and had a very classic conversation with Dennis. Hey, Warman, how you doing? All right, bro. Just trying to make a living. Jack Brickhouse was the voice of the Cubs. And Jack was the godfather of my daughter. And I got the news he passed away. And Pat, his widow, asked me if I'd be willing to read scripture at his funeral. And I said, certainly. And I got to tell you, I mean, we all get, anybody can lie, but we all get performance anxiety in this racket from time to time. But reading Bible scripture at Jack Brickhouse's funeral, being carried by WGN, a superstation, coast to coast, the whole nine yards. That's performance anxiety. Because, you're reading about, this begat that, and this did this, and this did that, and you're thinking to yourself, oh, God, don't let me screw up. Let me screw up. I mean, screwing up the score between the Red Sox and the Mariners is one thing.
Well, were you reading the Old Testament stuff with oh, man.
Yeah. Whew. And, I'm a bohunk. I'm entitled to at least four mistakes. But at an event like that, you're really thinking to yourself, please just let me get through it and don't embarrass myself. And on top of the fact, it's emotional. I mean, he's a guy I dearly loved, and I'm crying when they bring in the casket, and I'm sitting with the people who are going to eulogize him and the other people who are reading scriptures. One of whom was Billy Maravich, a former state senator who's married to Christy Hefner, the heir to the. They have their Playboy fortune, and we're both sitting there going, son of a gun, suppose we screw up.
It's got to be a weird situation for you to be in, because you can certainly think on your feet, never at a loss for words, but you can't exactly ad-lib the Bible.
No, you really
you can't. You can't.
I mean, you can ad-lib the Constitution, you can ad-lib Florida state traffic laws, but you cannot ad-lib the Bible.
Two more things I got to ask before we let you go. Do you regret a year later not being in New York to be a part of this whole Yankee thing that's going on over there?
A little bit. The Apple was a great deal of fun, and getting to know guys like Jeter and Strawberry, and knowing Joe Torre for as long as I've known him, it was a lot of fun. And also, doing news sport talk was a vehicle that was so much fun for me.
Well, I got to see you every night.
Yeah, exactly. And, this ball club, if it wins 27 of its last 42, which it probably will do with its eyes closed, with half the ball club playing in snow boots, is going to wind up with 117 wins, which will eclipse a 92-year-old baseball record set by the Cubs for most wins in a season.
Yeah, incredible.
Chet, true or false, Jimmy Johnson is the most overrated coach in the NFL?
That may well be true.
We can't stand him.
I will say this much. In examining the tenure of Jimmy Johnson, he does win a couple of rocks at Dallas, but does he win those rocks without the Herschel Walker trade?
That's right.
No. The answer is no. Jimmy coaching in Miami had marvelous, marvelous talent. Could Lou Holtz have won with that talent? Of course he could. Could John McKay or Johnny Robinson have won with that talent, or Eric Parsegian? Absolutely. So I've always felt that Jimmy's greatest attribute was the fact that Jimmy knew how to sell Jimmy.
Yeah, and you know, you contrast the legacy of Bill Walsh, where he's got Seifert that goes on to win. He's got Holmgren that goes on to win. Jimmy Johnson's got Norv Turner and Dave Wonsatt, who have spectacularly done nothing.
Hey, by the way, speaking of coaching changes, keep your eye on this one.
All right.
Mike Holmgren leaving the Packers.
Oh, come on.
The next year become head coach of the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, boy.
The new Cleveland Browns.
Chet, I want to thank you for the time.
Anytime, guys. You know that. In fact, you don't call often enough. I thought you were mad at me.
No. Hey, when are you going to fly us up to Chicago, and then we can have a big sports roundtable discussion on your show?
We'll all smoke cigars.
You know, Gleason and Jowis and all the guys come in every Friday morning. It takes about 2 days to clear the smoke out of here.
we're going to go buy some fedoras and head up there.
It's like a 5-11 alarm fire in this joint.
We'll talk to you soon, Chet.
All right, fellas. Have a good one.
You too.
Later.
Bye-bye. Man, I love that guy. Chet Kopic.
Florida heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on, now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off your feet. Stan and Haney, Stan and Haney, Stan and Haney on all afternoon. Now from Naples to Fort Myers, all over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Sin. The fill out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. Stand and hit it. Stand and hit it all afternoon. We're like whiskey and liquor, hot paradise. Listen to us once, then you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon.
Microphones and way too much baggage.
A nice enough guy, but way too much baggage, if you know what I mean.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. I was so sad to hear the news of our pal Chet
I only know what you told me in the text. Our dear friend Chet Kopic, who you just heard there, and in this reporter's opinion, a singular talent.
Oh, without a doubt.
One of broadcasting greats. What happened?
And it's still pretty sketchy. It happened last week, and the news was just coming out earlier this week about Chet. First of all, and I'll lead into what happened to him, because some of you already got text messages. Hey, grew up listening to Chet. Phenomenal. Thank you for playing it.
We love him, and it was great that we became friends with him over the years.
Chet Kopic was an institution in Chicago for 50 years. He was a radio and TV sports broadcaster, wrestling announcer, not in the gay term, flamboyant. He'd wear the fur coats. He'd have the suspenders. He would go and wear the funny glasses if it would bring attention to him.
He was all in. He was committed.
He loved what he did. And he started out in Indianapolis in the early 70s doing Indiana Pacer basketball, and then went on to Chicago, where he was an institution. We got to know him in the late 90s, mid to late 90s, because of a network that they had tried to start to compete with ESPN, and that was that
which
Sport
should
Talk
have,
Net.
New Sport Talk.
New Sport Talk.
Well, that was his show. I don't know if that was a network.
Yeah, that was the network.
But that should have succeeded.
So it would be on every night when Haney and I were at our homes, and we'd be watching Chet Kopic, and we naturally wanted to find out more about him, and we found out that, you know, a living legend in Chicago. And
because he was one of the few that would cover boxing, yep, on par with every other
correct
sport.
And he was a guest on our show for the first time, I don't know, in 97. And about every two or three weeks, he would come on our show. And we had such a great relationship with him, and
of course,
such a good friend.
And of course, he was good buddies with Bert Sugar.
Yep.
We were good buddies with Bert Sugar.
And you know, when he was in New York, he would mention our conversations on the air from time to time, and we really had a great relationship with him. Things after about 3 years of having him on several times in a month. He moved back to Chicago, which is at the time the interview you just heard. He had been back to Chicago, and his New York gig, they folded. And so he was back in Chicago, where he loved. But then he got, I believe somebody hit him in the face in a fight. The fight broke out. Broke his cheekbones, broke his nose. He was out of commission for a while. Then we moved back to mornings, kind of lost contact with him. When we moved back to the afternoon, he was pretty much out of the business, and probably within the last 5 years or so, started doing weekend stuff again in Chicago. He was 70 and had written 3 books in a row that
were
getting national attention. So he was back being seen again. And I looked just today when I was getting this stuff put together towards the end of last year when he was had just put a book out. I contacted him and instant messaged him just by, will he even remember us? Will he even want to come back on with us?
Yeah, it's been a while.
And I looked at the instant message today. He said, when do you want me? And that was this was the end of last year. It was the last time I spoke with him.
Cuz we
phenomenal sports entertainment
doing what we do.
Yep.
You and I both had just the utmost respect for him and his talent. He was great.
He would pick up a show. We would be, you know, just going through the motions, and we knew Chet was coming on. And it was like, get ready for at least, in those days, we could talk to people for 25 minutes. I said, get ready for a half hour of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And we could have kept going and going with him every time he was on.
Well, like where he was talking about Jack Brickhouse, he always brought something.
Yeah, always brought something to the table. So he was, I guess, traveling. Here's what I know. North Carolina on the 11th of April. Single car accident, from what I'm reading. He was a passenger and did not survive the accident.
Oh, man.
I know in recent years he had just gotten married. And he was really looking at life as an older person now, getting a reestablished relationship with his kids, finding a new love in his life, and writing books. And this happened, and it's so terribly sad. He was a fine human being, and entertaining as hell.
And just wonderful to us.
Yep, always was good to us, always. So,
and we will most definitely miss Chet.
Yep, coming up on the show today, Captain John Lazaro, retired, will be joining us in about an hour. We have two draft fund check presentations to give to local service people and their families today on Good Friday before Easter.
Can you believe that? Captain John Lazaro retired. When we first met him, he was still on his way up.
Yep. And he's been with us a long time and heading up our Stan and Haney Draft Fund, direct relief and assistance for Florida troops. And that's always fun when he comes in. And I think he might be bringing a recipient with him. Or let me just see who it was. He's bringing somebody who's on leave and wanted to stop by and say hi. Yeah, one of our recipients should be here today as well.
Outstanding.
So we're going to take a break. Grab bag is next. This is the Stan and Haney Show.
Viciously fracking Southwest Florida's airwaves for decades. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining
Dave,
us on this Good Friday.
And Good Friday, it's the crucifixion.
The crucifixion, okay.
This was the day, according to the Bible, that Jesus Christ was crucified. And then 3 days later, he rose from the dead, and thus we have Easter. All right? It's not all about the bunny, okay? Okay?
I know, bro.
Right,
I know.
Just getting you straight.
No, he's learning, though.
Yeah, because you're telling him.
Well,
he was pretty impressed with Palm Sunday. He didn't know about that.
Really?
Well, no, I didn't. I didn't know that when he was going into Jerusalem, they were waving palms because they were saying that he was a god, right?
King.
Or king, excuse me, a king.
Yeah.
And they thought that he was going to take charge of Israel and be the king of Israel on earth.
But he was there to take on the sins.
And a lot of the palm fronds when he came in on the donkey, which was miraculously waiting for him when he sent his apostles to
and
go
that
pick
was
it up.
Predicted in the Old Testament, so that meant something to people.
And they laid the palm fronds on his path and to honor him coming into the city.
Now, you know what I mean I say Old Testament, right?
The old scripture?
Yes.
Old writings?
Yes.
Not the new reworked versions?
No, it's not reworked.
You know, or rewritten.
The Old Testament was around before what we're talking about now, before Jesus.
Right.
And he knew all that stuff. And in those writings, which at the time that Jesus was alive were already thousands of years old,
yeah,
there were things about him in that that people were picking up on.
Right, where he would fulfill the what was the in prophecy. The prophecy in the Old Testament.
And the New Testament was written after Easter, yeah, if
got
you
it,
will.
Got
okay.
it.
Okay, yeah, right on.
Thank you.
Right on.
Right on.
Grab bag brought Woo. To you by the Pewter Mug North. Also, in just a few minutes, people are saying, did you hear about it? I'm seeing various posts. I discovered this last night.
You discovered it? You I want credit for it?
No, because I didn't write it, all right? And thank God I didn't make the decision. But I am... Well, it shouldn't surprise me anymore. And in about 20 minutes, I'm going to tell you about what the New York Yankees and the Philadelphia Flyers did.
Oh, yes, I am aware. And
I cannot believe it.
Pathetic.
I cannot believe it.
Pathetic.
I'll get into the story in about 25
and
minutes.
And it has got to stop.
It's got to stop. It's got to stop.
This is insane.
Yeah, I'll give you the story in about less than 30 minutes. Unbelievable.
American friggin' icon.
Yeah, yeah. See, now, yes. See, now.
Did you see the picture of her and Babe Ruth?
I have seen it, not recently, but I
no,
know.
No, but it's just yes. such a great picture. She's serving him cake.
It'll make all sense
yeah.
to you.
All right.
Just
all
like,
will be I'm ready, man.
Just like Haney was discussing what the real Easter is. But I knew you were coming in today.
Yeah, dude.
I thought you could better understand this.
Each year, they're hunted to the brink of extinction, brutally captured and exploited for their natural beauty. Many are covered in toxic paint or kept caged in baskets without food, water, or proper medical attention. Nearly all are cast aside and left to rot, never to return home. Without your help, these peaceful, harmless creatures will lose their epic struggle for survival. By sending a small donation, you can help put an end to the senseless hunting of Easter eggs. Take action now and help stop the nightmare.
All right.
All right, get ready to... Yeah, that made sense, didn't
yeah,
it?
Dude.
Yeah. Get ready to toe tap.
Oh, you got a toe tapper?
I do. And I don't mind this song. Apparently... Others did. Dateline. A lot of stories coming here. Dateline,
this
Scotland.
This isn't one of those songs that got her banned, is it?
No. No. Dateline, Scotland. A lot of stories recently coming from here. An 82-year-old woman got fined for blasting music for 2 years to annoy her neighbors. She's 82. She was mad that the neighbor's van blocked sunlight from getting into her house. Had one of these big vans right in front of the old picture window of her house blocked the sun. So she'd push her speakers up against the wall, put in earplugs for herself, and blast the song. Sometimes at 2 in the morning. The song is from... The song is from 1922 called...
Oh, they were all toe-tappers back then.
Had called to be. The Laughing Policeman. This is what she was blaring at her neighbors for 2 years.
I know a fat old policeman, he's always on our street. A fat and jolly red-faced man, he really is a treat. He's too kind for a policeman, he's never known to frown. And everybody says he is the happiest man in town.
For 2 years.
I get it.
No, I get it too.
Speaking of which, this is one that I've had bookmarked for days, and I keep forgetting to tell you. Because it's not enough to make a big deal about. It's just a fun thing to know.
What?
Are you a fan of Attorney General Bill Barr?
Yeah, I am.
You know I am.
Yeah. He's a good man. Fair man.
There's something about him. He has a hidden talent you may not know.
What's his talent?
and he's done it his entire life. He is a virtuoso.
Place the spoons?
A virtuoso level bagpiper.
Really?
Yep.
Good for him. That's a difficult instrument.
He has performed in public.
Yeah, you got to fill the bladder.
Very good at it.
Yep.
I knew I liked him, and he's got the build for it.
Yep. Here's an
Think about it. Think about him. Picture him in a kilt with pipes. It'd be perfect fit.
This guy's got a talent. A thief in New Mexico. You know, how are you going to walk off with the loot? You've got 44 diamonds that you've just stolen.
Well, how heavy would that be?
I don't know. I mean, depending on the carat size of the rocks.
Yeah. I think the better the diamond, the lighter it would be, wouldn't it?
No. How do you get it? How do you get it out? How do you hide it?
Talk about finding a diamond in the rough. Wasn't what this man was doing, but what he was sitting on. Police say 44 diamonds in a baggie in his behind. Bottom line, that's a lot of booty. Padilla reportedly had more than a rare hiding place. Police claim he had a knife, and they say he didn't
pull it,
but he did pull that baggie out of, well, you know.
Oh, come on.
Seriously. I'd tell her. I'd look at the copy that if I was the news director, hand it right back to her. Go, let's try that one again. Let's try it again.
You got some unpaid time off coming, because you need to stop and think about what you're doing with your life.
this wouldn't bother
me. You know why?
What?
Because it's probably the first time she's heard about like that. And thinks she's thinking of these
Being
things.
Being cutesy.
Yeah.
This wouldn't bother Dave one bit. Dateline, upstate New York. McDonald's.
At the bottom of it was a big worm. They had it tested and told me it was an earthworm.
I didn't believe her at first. I said, you're kidding me. Went over and looked, and sure enough, there was a worm in the bottom of her drink. Our family we're absolutely disgusted with it.
Oh, man, I think they ruined it for every fast food place for me.
As far as right now, no. We're sticking to home-cooked meals.
Come on, that wouldn't...
No,
earthworm.
Man, no.
Come on.
She's looking that easy payday, buddy. You know that.
Jeez. No, and even if it's true, you know, you got to put it out of your mind or you'll never eat anyway.
That's right.
Yeah, man.
Birds got to fly, fish got to fry. I don't know why I said
I don't know. It was still better than that girl reporter.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
Bagpiper. Yeah. I can see it.
I'm going to tell you this right now. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. When I was in college at UCF, for a brief period of time, because I was incompetent, I was made news director of the newsroom.
Acting news director?
No, I was full-fledged news director.
Impressive.
And I hated it because I wanted to go to sports.
Yeah, where the money was.
Yeah, well, that was a different story. But I was the news director, and I went and looked at the students' copy. You know, they would come in, and 90% of people that come into a radio station have ideas about what they want to do, and they're not good enough to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Of the 90% go, 10%, maybe even less, stay. So there was this girl that came in. And we would have, just like they do in local news around here, what's going on? And she told me, she said, well, I'd like to cover the corn festival that was going on, I don't know, in Oviedo. I don't know where it was, somewhere near Orlando. You want to cover the corn festival? All right. That's your assignment. Have the story ready to go Monday morning. We'll let you cover the corn festival. And I'll never forget it. She handed me recorded story to go on the air on Monday. And her opening line was, let me see if I can do it. How much sweet, hot, buttered corn on the cob can you eat in one sitting? Well, let me tell you. We're at the corn fest. How much sweet, buttered corn can you eat in one? I said, I didn't hear it. Because I didn't hear my story run on Monday.
No, you didn't.
Because it was a piece of crap. How much sweet buttered corn can you eat?
But you know what? This is the year 2019, and you remember it word for word. It made an impact.
And she did it in, like, in a sing-songy voice.
Yep.
I think might have, say, how much sweet hot buttered corn on the cob can you eat? Well, we're about to find out because we're at the Oviedo Corn Festival. What the hell? Give me... That is ridiculous.
That was probably like 2 years of work.
She left heartbroken.
You stole her dream.
I'm sorry.
Actually, what you did is saved her from much, much more heartache.
Yes, yes.
You imagine the news director is around here. Somebody walked in with it.
What are you talking about? They'd... Some would love
Come
it.
To think of it, she could have had a very lucrative career if you hadn't stomped on her dream.
You go and look at some of the stuff that runs locally. That would have been a lead.
She might have made it.
Yeah.
Might have made it with writing like that. She definitely would have made it if she was a gay man with that
How
writing.
How much sweet hot buttered popcorn or corn on the cob can you eat? Ugh. This I
was it hot buttered or sweet buttered?
Hot, sweet buttered corn on the cob.
Can you eat?
Can you eat? Oh,
I'm here at the Oviedo Corn Festival.
And I was about to find out. I did not know this. Steve Perry. The Steve Perry was against using Don't Stop Believin' in the Sopranos finale.
Really?
Because he didn't want the song to be associated with the family getting whacked. When he found out about the ending, he had a change of mind when he found out how the series would end with the go to black. Here's Steve Perry talking about. He was told nobody knew the ending of The Sopranos. He had to be told. Because he said no.
I'm sorry, even if you don't like the scene, your song in front of that many eyeballs and ears.
There you go. Here's Steve Perry.
I was the one that was holding out and approving that song. Only because I did not want to see the whole family get whacked. Because it was the last one, it was all hush-hush and very tight. I told my publisher, I said, I won't say yes unless you get a phone call from somebody in David Chase's office or David himself. 4 o'clock, she calls me. She says, okay, you have to swear not to tell nobody. I said, I promise. She tells me how it ends. Did not tell me they went to black because I, like the rest of the country, when it went to black, I mean, what happened to my TV?
Don't stop. Yep.
I'm so glad that he agreed. You know, I was reading about WKRP.
In Cincinnati. I love that show.
And I think it was on from 78 to 82. But unlike sitcoms of that era that would go on and make tons of money in syndication, WKRP had a problem. Because WKRP was about a radio station and it wanted to be contemporary. And in the original episodes, they were using current hit music.
That is correct.
Which,
somebody at one time put out a list of all the songs that WKRP had played.
And by their second season, the record companies, I guess because in the first season they paid a lot of money for licensing, and by the second season the record companies like, no, we need to get our songs on your show. Here's some merchandise for your set. And so when the show ended in 1982, all of these agreements that were made to, quote unquote, you know, promote these songs. Well, now all of a sudden, these songs don't need to be promoted. They're iconic, and you only have a couple of years to use them. And so the show is sitting there, already done, and you're into the late 80s, and all of the music agreements are gone, and so much of that show was about the music, they half-assed it. Some episodes just couldn't be aired because it was too central to the plot, but they started putting in generic production music.
Oh, no.
And that didn't work, and so I guess finally now They're coming out with a box set where they say even for the DVD, for private viewing, because of the immense amount of licensing fees involved, they're very proud to announce that 80% of the original music has been restored. 80%. Good. There's 20% sure. They still can't afford.
Speaking of music, I saw Eric Clapton several years ago in Hollywood, Florida. And it's the same thing that it was for years. You know, they ask you, I even think you asked me, did he do Layla? And it's usually the acoustic version of him. And for the first time in 6 years, Eric Clapton was in concert and did the real version of Layla. It's been 6 years since he even put electric to the song. Well, he did it the other night. Thank you, Eric Clapton.
Yeah, he slowed down a lot.
Yeah, and he wrote about that. His hands don't work the way they used to.
The best, where I think he was absolutely on fire, was right around Live Aid, where he had Phil Collins on the drums.
I remember.
And when he does that riff for Layla, you know, that da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And Phil Collins would be on the drums going, it was just, I lost my mind over that.
Rolling Stones, this is our last cut. Rolling Stones have always had an affinity for country music.
Oh, yeah. They're really a dyed-in-the-wool country band.
Blues and country. You know, far away girl with far
a
away
girl eye. With the far away eye.
They just released a new live recording of their song Dead Flowers. It was recorded in 2013 during their 50 and Counting tour, where they had up on stage country artist Mr. Brad Paisley. Here's a little sample of their live release that just came out.
I'll be in my basement with me.
Brought to you by the Pewter Mug North. When we come back, phone lines will be open. We're going to tell you about a horrific thing the New York Yankees and the Philadelphia
Terrible.
Flyers did.
Boo.
Big time boo. When's it going to stop?
Later, it's stupid.
Later on in the 3 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by Captain John Lazaro, retired United States Naval Reserve, head of the Stan and Haney Draft Fund. Couple of check presentations. Looking forward to it. We're Stan and Haney.
We've got our finger on the pulse of our numerous enemies. Where's your finger? Excuse me. Stan and Haney in the afternoon. 96 K-Rock.
Stan and Haney. Dave, I got some reading material.
Do we?
Our producer said somebody stopped by.
Yeah.
after yesterday's show because we were talking about all the CBD and THC.
Yeah.
Actually brought by a pamphlet that is called Cannabis, A Guide to Common and Exotic Strains, written by Randy Boyce and Sean Moore. It's waterproof. And look at this.
That.
Look at all this.
Oh, that every
strain, man. It tells you the THC level and the CBD.
Let me look at that.
Let me just, because.
And does it have a euphoria index on that?
Hold on. Shh. I'm talking.
Okay.
I'm looking at the black triangle. THC level, 19% to 22%. CBD level, variable. Let's see. The flavor?
Yeah.
This has probably 100 of them. The flavor, citrus, earthy, and piney.
Mm-hmm.
Anything barnyardy?
I just started looking at it. Full body relaxation.
Nice.
A sedating effect. Good for pain management.
Oh, I like that.
This is the one for you, Dave.
What do we got?
Blue City Diesel.
Sweet.
There you go. Thumb through that.
I love that. Yeah.
Wonder if it's got any of that.
This is great.
It's got everything. Saskatchewan.
Yeah, man.
Go ahead. Yeah, learn up. We'll quiz
some of those
you later.
Canadian strains, you know.
Yeah. Oh, we'll quiz you later.
You know, you got me thinking, Stan, when the Rolling Stones and Brad Paisley.
Yeah.
When I was on the country station, and this was in the early, maybe mid 80s, right before I met you and went to Top 40.
Yeah.
I would always try to slip in rock bands to figure out what I could get away with on the country station.
Right, break to the line.
And you know I did this one.
Oh, yeah. That's a Hot Dog by Led Zeppelin.
Yep.
One of my all-time favorites.
That's enough Reba McEntire.
Love it.
And then I put this right by it. And I never got caught.
No.
Because the people running the station didn't pay that much attention.
They knew that this came from In Through the Outdoor.
They would have fired me.
And they would have fired you. Great song. Great song. I gotta read this. Your head is gonna spin. Oh, look at Dave. I've never seen him.
Oh, he is very engaged.
So
We've lost him.
Oh, man.
You've gotta be kidding me. Although it is pretty impressive. Complete with colored pictures. Laminated.
Damn near scratch and sniff.
I don't know where it came from.
Flying Hawaiian.
Yeah, that's your deal. If you find the one with the strongest, and we'll see if we can land you some. Well, score. What? How do you say it?
I don't know.
Say that.
Score you.
I'm not a pothead.
I don't know the terms. I got to tell you about this woman before I read the story, because most people, I mean, this is even before my time, but in the 1920s, late 20s, early 1930s,
an American treasure.
There was an American treasure. One of the leading popular singers ever. Her name was Kate Smith. She was, think of the biggest singers out there today.
She was iconic.
Back in the 20s and the 30s and the 40s.
And why was she iconic?
She was incredible. Listen to this. You know her from this.
God bless America, land that I love.
Now, she had a resurgence in the 1970s. She was an old lady.
When she was recognized as an American treasure.
And she was an American treasure. And the Philadelphia Flyer and the Street Bullies used her as their good luck charm for 2-3 years in the Stanley Cup Finals to bring them luck. She would sing God Bless America. After after 9/11, the New York Yankees used her version of God Bless America for the seventh inning stretch. Every game, unless they had a live singer there, but they would play her version of God Bless America. One of the icons of popular music spanning seven decades. She passed away in 1986. Again, I can't emphasize, in the early 20th century, she was, even then, an icon. Film star, Broadway star, singer, made tons of records. Listen to that. This is her even as an old lady. This story comes to us. It broke earlier this week.
Just ridiculous. What is wrong with people?
Keep in mind, she came of time in popular music at the time of Al Jolson, vaudeville, where our social morals were different. Understand that. Nonetheless, an icon. I'll start with Dateline New York, then we'll go Dateline Philadelphia.
And they should both be ashamed.
And they should both be ashamed, especially Philadelphia. That one's the most disturbing. But I'll start with the New York Yankees, who have been playing God Bless America, sung by Kate Smith, since 9/11. The Yankees have suspended the use of Kate Smith's recording of God Bless America during the seventh inning stretch while they investigate an allegation of racism against the late singer.
What?
Now, I'm going to be very careful. I'm going to quote the song simply because it is in print and it was printed and said on air, but the New York Daily News printed it, and it is the name of the song. I am not saying this. This is what was written.
Oh, now you're going to get yourself in trouble.
Well, then I'll leave it out then. I'll leave the questionable word out. You know what? And I, as I'm doing this, I'm saying, should I do it or should I not do it?
Because it's
news.
It should be. It should be fine. But that's not the way life is.
I'm not going to. I'll give you the first letter of the song. The New York Daily News reported on Thursday there are conflicting claims about Smith's 1939 song. Are you playing it? Oh, no, that's a good one. That's fine. In April, shut down a minute. Thank you. The New York Daily News reported Thursday that there are conflicting claims about Smith's 1939 song called, and I'm going to leave the word out, That's Why D Were Born.
He's saying darkies.
Yep. This song was from Broadway. It came from the 1931 Broadway musical review called George White's Scandals. It was considered satire, but includes racist language.
That stuff was over the place.
For 1931. It was recorded by Kate Smith, and you know who else recorded the song? Paul Robeson. If you don't know who Paul Robeson is, look him up. He was black. And an icon himself, and very political socialist. The Yankees said in a statement, they have been made aware of a recording that had been previously unknown to us and decided to immediately and carefully review this new information. The Yankees take social, racial, and cultural sensitivities very seriously. And while no...
And what does that have to do with her singing God
song.
Bless America?
Yep. And while no final conclusions have been made, we are erring on the side of sensitivity.
That is so stupid.
Smith died in 1986. The Yankees have used her recording of God Bless America when they haven't used live singers since 9/11. The past two games, Wednesday and Thursday night, the Yankees simply played organ music of God Bless America. Here's one. Here's the one that's going to go. Yes, you have a question.
No, I just think
you're
this
raising
is,
your hand.
I'm in disbelief right now, Stan. This is insane.
It truly is insane.
Dateline Philadelphia, where Kate Smith was an icon at Flyer games. So much so, there's a statue of her in front of the arena with a microphone in her hand singing.
Where's this coming from?
I don't know. On Friday, the National Hockey League's Philadelphia Flyers also announced their intent to distance themselves from Kate Smith and her rendition of God Bless America. We have recently become aware that several songs performed by Kate Smith contain offensive lyrics that do not reflect our values as an organization. From the 1930s. Long before any of us were born. The team said in a statement, as we continue to look into this serious matter, we are removing Kate Smith's recording of God Bless America from our library. And here's the catch. Here's the one that puts it over the top. And we are covering up the statue.
They put a burqa on Kate Smith.
That stands outside of our arena.
Who is instigating?
I don't know. We're talking about Kate Smith.
Insanity.
It's complete insanity.
How are grown men allowing themselves to be manipulated like this?
You are talking about you're going back 3-4 generations.
You know what? All these people that scream fascism are the ones bringing us into this totalitarianism.
Yes! Kate Smith was honored by FDR. You got a problem with that? Kate Smith was photographed on film being recognized by Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Got a problem with that?
It's got to stop.
We'll be back.
It truly has got to stop.
Captain John Lazaro.
Retired. I cannot believe
Navy.
That this is happening.
Next. Oh, I know. I saw that and my head spun. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? 96K Rock.
You could be our next big winner. But realistically speaking, the odds are overwhelmingly against you.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening to the Stan and Haney Show on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us on this Good Friday. Glad to have you along. Dave the Waterman been very well behaved because he's deep into a pot brochure.
He's a good boy, isn't he?
He's just
a good boy.
Being such a good boy today. That's because he's reading something that he understands. You give him something above that.
Well, that is something of value to him.
It most certainly is.
What are you learning, Dave?
Oh, yeah. Right now I'm learning about this lemon OG Kush.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah, nice.
Right on.
22% THC, 1% CBD.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah, right on is right, man, boys. It's good for chronic pain, insomnia, loss of appetite, a little stress relief. Good, you know?
Yeah. things are
all around good, man.
Yeah.
Digging it.
Yeah.
I'm digging it big time, bro.
You're not going to get in the Marines taking that
stuff. The only thing that really scares me is this green crack. Yeah, that one looks a little powerful.
Well, you know, John, Dave was very, very nearly a United States Marine.
Right.
Yeah, very nearly.
That is true. That is true. Remember.
Got as far as the recruiting station.
I sure did.
Walked by the recruiting station.
No, bro. I went in there.
No, he went in.
Oh, dude, I got an 86 on the computer test.
And then you called him dude, and then that happened.
No, no, no.
He went in wasted.
Yeah, I was high and drunk, man.
Right. That's the old,
you know? And then I went in there and basically told him, I said, you know what? I want to go kill people, man. And
jeez, what is your problem?
You threw a man in there and a Broheim.
Yeah, well, I was like, yo, bro, you know, how do I go about killing people, man?
Because you see even now how you're addressing the captain.
Sorry,
sir. Yeah, that's
sorry, Captain Lazaro.
Right, roger that.
But yeah, it was an intense, and they said, you know, we really don't think
didn't they ask you to do some push-ups and you couldn't do them?
No, bro, I did pull-ups, push-ups. I did it all. Aced it.
Honestly, Captain Lazaro is here.
Sir.
This is a man who served on the ground in Afghanistan.
Yes.
He was on the 50 cal.
Yes.
How do you think Dave would fare in combat?
Oh, geez.
Seriously, because, you know.
Have you ever heard the term AWOL?
Right.
Oh, I would never have gone AWOL.
Oh, you would have split.
No. Look, see, the thing is.
Would you trust him as one of your men?
I'm just, could you picture him being amongst you and Colonel Sadiq and everybody over there?
We would be worried about Dave's, they call it muzzle presence. Because, you know, you don't want to point your rifle or your sidearm directly at anyone.
No, sir.
But if you're a little buzzed when you're on duty.
Well.
Wait a minute. Now, you can't
buzzed on duty,
Let's get serious here.
You're in Afghanistan. Yeah, you got access to everything.
Did I hear last week that you left your assigned job?
Don't even
go there. Don't, come on.
You were asked to watch the VIP and
I
area
did.
And you left without permission.
No, I went to use the restroom. I was excused for a momentary 5 minutes.
You didn't ask for permission.
To leave your post. Someone usually has to cover for you.
Absolutely,
while you
and there was cover.
Saw an empty post.
No, there was somebody there with me. We were doubled down at each post.
That's a violation of the UCMJ, I said in my text. You got to be careful on that.
Man, not cool.
Especially this, you know, we're still in a time of war, technically.
Yeah.
You got to watch out for that.
That's true. Didn't you tell me you can, like, sign up now, like, in 45 or something?
Not you, but some can.
Yeah, that's the truth.
We could try, but
that's the truth. But it doesn't look good.
I love that.
It doesn't look good.
I love that answer. Not you, but sometimes.
Yeah.
Thanks, Captain.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
All right, let's get down to business.
All right, let's get to business.
Captain Lazaro, retired.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Joins us. He heads up our Stan and Haney Draft Fund.
And I know he's
a
Kate Smith fan as well.
Oh,
yeah,
absolutely.
Can
I cannot
that?
Believe that. I used to, you know, we used to talk about going to Yankee games in the 70s and the 80s and them playing that song. That was a tradition. And it's, you know, when's it going to end, as Haney said?
It is truly getting to be such a generational thing because for people that don't know who she is and have no memory of her, they don't care. For those of us that do, it is mind-blowing. It's like Mom, Apple Pie, Chevrolet, Kate Smith.
Yep.
You're going after Kate Smith?
Yep. Really? God bless America. Unbelievable.
Today, we have two, on Good Friday, we have two recipients of checks from the Stan and Haney Draft Fund, again, with local family, local troops that are currently serving. And Captain Lazaro, take it away.
Yes, and you know, it's always a pleasure and an honor to come in. I want to, all kidding aside, thank everyone here for their continued support of the Stan and Haney Draft Fund and the local military from Southwest Florida. This is the best part of my day to come in and do these presentations, without a doubt. A couple quick notes ahead of time. We've got another deposit from a local drywall, Ted Nye the drywall guy, dropped it off a check at the branch to me a couple days ago.
Awesome. Thank you, Ted.
He does that every couple of months regularly, just brings a check in. So,
Ted,
you're awesome. Also want to give a quick shout-out to my dad up in Sarasota, Don Lazaro. He's a Marine. I was born in Quantico when he was in the Marine Corps.
What years was he in the Marine Corps?
He was in, like, 60 to 64.
Oh, okay.
He was at my retirement. I think you had to leave, but he was at that.
He kept saying that he was on his way.
Correct, and he was. It was top secret mission. Dave's here. You know, we got to be careful, sensitive. Yeah. But he had open heart surgery. He had the valve and the two arteries bypassed. Had that done last Tuesday. Already up and walking. And my sister's with him right now. So, Dad, Captain Don Lazaro, U.S. Marines. This is for you, Dad. Get better soon.
And I know he's in everybody's prayers.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Way to go, Don.
That's awesome. He's got the U.S. Marine Corps license plate on his car.
Of course he does.
Flies his flag outside of his house in Venice. We love you, Dad. Get well soon.
Was he disappointed at all that you did not make Admiral?
It's still part of the family.
He was not disappointed at all. Okay. We are... I'm blessed to have made captain.
I thought that you were going to ask him if he was disappointed that he went in the Navy instead of the Corps.
Well, what about that?
Okay, so quick story, because I know we got limited time. When I went to join the service, my father and my uncle, Uncle Carmen, who was an enlisted Marine from World War II, uh-huh. You know, truck driver, blue-collar truck driver in New York, upstate New York, Syracuse, Newark, said, "Hey, Uncle Carmen, Dad, I went in today and I joined the Navy." And Uncle Carmen and Dad said, "The Navy?" And I said, "Yeah." They said that the recruiter said that the Marines are really a department of the Navy. And they both said, "Yeah, the men's department." And that was that. So we moved on. But we give them a ride and pick up whoever's left over.
Right. What do we got?
Okay, so we have two presentations today, both from the U.S. Army and both from Cape Coral. So we got the Cape covered today and the Army. Our first presentation is to U.S. Army Private Justin Cruz. Justin is the son of Richard Cruz and Kimberly Cruz and stepson of Sean O'Hara. Justin's siblings include Melissa Rich, Joshua Rich, and Rachel Cruz, and Cadence and Tegan O'Hara. Justin is married to Chloe, and they are the proud parents of a newborn baby girl, Evelyn. Evelyn is 2 weeks old.
Oh, wow.
2 weeks
old. Because I know you said he was hopefully going to be here today, but yeah. New baby.
Yeah, he was going to come today with his dad, but he had his new baby. And, God bless you both, and best of luck with your new baby girl. So this presentation, obviously, from the Stan and Haney listeners is going to be certainly come in handy.
Yeah.
Private Cruz has been in the Army for 1 year, so he's a new guy in the Army. Currently stationed at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. His MOS, Waterman.
What's MOS?
Method of, I don't know.
Methadone. What?
What? No, I know. I don't know.
Oh, MOS, Military Occupation Specialist.
His MOS is... Did you say methadone?
Okay, something on the brain. He wonders why he can't join the military. His MOS is 11 Bravo, Waterman. You know I always ask you what those mean. What is 11 Bravo? Okay, never mind. Infantry.
I don't know.
You evidently can't retain anything.
Yes, I do, man.
All right, so Private Cruz.
And you want to go to service.
And you want to be in our military. His MOS is 11 Bravo Infantry. Justin grew up local on Pine Island and Haney. This is for you. He's an avid Miami Dolphins fan.
Well.
He's a big fan.
Hopefully he can turn a blind eye for a couple of years. Yeah.
Justin and his family want to thank the Stan and Haney listeners, of course, for this opportunity. They sincerely appreciate all the support that we all show for the military, and thank you to all the listeners, because we couldn't do this without you.
Absolutely.
So, Private Cruz, be safe, and best of luck with your new family.
You know, when you think about what we as a nation are capable of, thanks to an all-volunteer force, it's amazing.
Yeah.
On behalf of the listeners who have donated to the Stan and Haney Draft Fund, Please make sure that Kimberly and Sean and Justin get this check.
Thank you so much. Going in the mail today. And, to your point, Haney, I mean, all volunteer force, truly American patriots. These
what's the,
men
what's
and women
the percentage?
That serve, less than, at any one point in time, less than one half of 1% are in uniform. That's National Guard, Reserve, or active duty. Less than one half of 1% of the U.S. population are in uniform. Then if you add up everybody that's ever served, my dad for 4 years, myself, Waterman, well, almost Waterman. Okay, it's still less than 6% of the U.S. population of people who have ever served. So, thank you.
And we count on them for so much.
Yep, thank you, Justin, for your service and to his family for their unending support.
Absolute Law text line. I was in the Navy. Like I say all the time, to the Marines. What does it say on your paycheck? Department of the Navy.
Thank you, Dad. I hope you're still listening. Yep. Thanks. Thank you, Dad. And you heard it, too. So, all right. Our second presentation is for U.S. Army Sergeant Howard Olson. Let me tell you, folks, this is exactly how the Stan and Haney Draft Fund works. Howard's parents, Tom and Michelle Robinson, are longtime Stan and Haney listeners. About a month ago or so, they emailed the show after our last presentation.
I remember.
Remember? And they told us about their son. I then reached out to Howard. We kind of emailed back and forth. And now we're getting a presentation. It's as simple as that. That's exactly how it should work. They were listening. They emailed in. And we vetted the service member. And we're good to go. Howard's been in the Army for about 6 years. Okay, Waterman, stand by. He is a 15-uniform MOS. What's that?
15-uniform MOS.
We just covered MOS.
We just covered it. You're
supposed to have Wikipedia on your phone. Oh,
just
to look it up.
Went and did it.
All right, never mind. 15-uniform.
Remember, it's not methadone.
No, I know, man.
It's a CH-475 Foxtrot Chinook helicopter mechanic.
Oh, how am I supposed to know?
As a board.
We got to fly. We got to fly the Chinook out of Afghanistan. Can you say A on the air? You know, butt A? No.
Yeah, you can say that.
Okay, that's a badass helicopter.
Oh, you can say that.
Okay, it's a badass helicopter. It's got weapons on it. It flies really low to the ground. We flew one of those out of Afghanistan with the doors open, a Chinook. It's an awesome machine.
That had to be amazing.
It was so cool. It was going so fast. It was awesome. Sergeant Olson's duties include troubleshooting, maintaining, and repairing systems, replacing components, as well as preventative maintenance to ensure the aircraft are fully operational and mission ready. That's from Sergeant Olson himself. He was also lucky enough to be selected as crew chief. He says lucky. I think he's pretty humble. I would add that it's his skill and proficiency because they don't mess around. Right. I mean, you got to be qualified to become a crew chief. So his new duties shifted from maintenance to becoming a crew member on the aircraft and flying daily missions. His main mission in the Army is heavy lift, moving passengers, like they moved us out of Afghanistan, and cargo. The Chinook is often referred to as the...
Dave.
Thank you.
Workhorse?
Yes!
There we go.
Yes, good job.
Yeah!
Did you read my notes ahead of time?
He knows things.
Yeah. You're right. It's referred to as the workhorse aircraft of the Army.
Really, he's so proud of himself now.
Exactly. Yeah.
You got one.
You know, three out of four, you're in the major leagues, right? Sergeant Olson is currently stationed in Fort Rucker, Alabama. He spent 9 months deployed to Afghanistan as a door gunner and crew chief, and also served a year in South Korea. Proud history of service. In the Olson family, Howard's younger brother, Kyle, was also in the Army for 4 years, where he served as a combat medic and also deployed to Afghanistan. His grandfather, Robert Hamilton, who unfortunately recently passed away, was a Marine. Howard wants to give a shout-out to his parents, Michelle and Thomas Robinson, and he also said he greatly appreciates the opportunity to be recognized by the Draft Fund. It really means a lot to him and his family.
Door gunner.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a tough job there.
Captain Lazaro, make sure... Sergeant Olson and his family, Michelle, get the check from the Stan and Haney Draft Fund to help them out.
Roger that. Envelope's already ready to go.
Oh, look at that. That's right. Yep. Already
put
done
a stamp
and
on our
written up.
Waterman's going to give me a stamp. So.
Oh, you are? Where are you getting a stamp from?
I got to give him a dollar to
get
two
I'm
stamps.
Not getting a stamp. I'm not getting a stamp. Did you know that? Real quick, though, CIA is trying to recruit me, man?
Really?
Yeah.
This is an important thing.
I'm sorry.
You're saying you're not going to give him a stamp.
Was that
You're stamp? Not going to give him a stamp.
I don't have stamp. What do you think? I just got stamps in my pockets?
As a board.
CIA I got stuff just carrying you. Around stamps.
Was that before or after you, toked up a little for the CIA?
Well, I'm reading up right now.
Oh, you're reading up on it. Okay, fair enough.
Captain Lazaro, two things that we have to address.
Yeah.
People that maybe are entitled to receive a check from the Stan and Haney Draft Fund. What's the criteria?
Right, so we want to hear from anybody that has family members who are in the military. Please email the show. You can email me, John.Lazaro, LAZZARO, number1@wellsfargo.com. Ahoy at StanandHaney.com.
Yep.
Let us know what's going on. If you're a service member out there, I had a Navy guy email me last month after listening to the show and said he needed a little help. You can email me for that as well. If you want to donate to the fund, you go into any Wells Fargo branch in the country. You go right up to the teller line. You say, I want to make a donation to the Stan and Haney Draft Fund. As we say, Waterman, the Stan and Haney Fund is the only fund in the Wells Fargo universe. You can make a donation right there. He knew that. And, we will vet the request. I always talk to the family and also send an email to the service member.
And I want to be clear on this, talking about people needing help, vetting that's really, I understand where you're coming from, but to clarify it, we don't need to know what it's for.
Right.
And as far as vetting, it's just to make sure you are who you say you are.
Yeah, that you just are. An email. That you are. We're not serving.
Like, we're not like vetting financial stuff.
Oh, absolutely just, not. This is just to confirm that you are currently serving and family members are local.
And the purpose of these checks is just to say thank you. Yep. They're not for anything in particular.
No. That's right. That's exactly right.
Over the last 16, 17, how many years now?
Got to be 16.
Got to be up there. Yeah. These checks have been used for anything from supplies, transportation.
Getting home to Christmas. Yep. Christmas for Christmas. Yep.
Gifts, Super Bowl parties.
Yep. Kevlar vests. We did a large donation for that back in the beginning. Yep, Camelbacks.
Equipment that is upgraded from what the troops get.
Where was that big Super Bowl party? Was that Bahrain?
That was, yes, that was in like 2006. Yeah. Because it was a couple of years before I deployed. Yep.
So if you want to do that, again, go to any Wells Fargo.
And you said they remembered that when you the next
awesome.
Time you were there.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, they allowed them to have a food, barbecue, TVs, watch the Super Bowl in Bahrain.
Yep.
But yeah, if you want to come by the radio station and we're around and you want to drop off a check, please do that. Again, to any Wells Fargo. And
you look, know what I'm still...
We want to give this money away.
That's right. That's right. And it works just like Tom and Michelle. They were listening. They emailed. We sent an email to their son. Boom.
Yep.
Check. The next presentation. Real quick, I always like to talk about the DOD's Yellow Ribbon Program.
Absolutely.
As I said, and as Haney pointed out last time, 22 service members per day are committing suicide. That's 22 too much. The DOD has a program
Indeed.
Called the Yellow Ribbon Reintegration Program. I've been working in that for about 10 years with Command Master Chief Matt Davis out of Jacksonville, former Navy engineman, Command Master Chief. We just did an event last weekend in Atlanta, deployment readiness training. They're sending 100 troops over to Djibouti mostly, some still to Afghanistan. We did one in February to Memphis. We have the events when they come back. That individual I was talking about before, in the Navy, he's eligible to go to the one in Tampa, which is in August. Folks, if you're if you were in the military or family members, if you have family members that were in the military, you know, it's the strong person that says, maybe I need a little help, maybe I need to talk to somebody. There's nothing wrong with that. Please email me, and we can get you set up with Military One Source. You know, everybody cracks on the VA, but there's a lot of good VA outlets as well. And Military One Source is one where you're allowed. Did you know that you're allowed to have 12 sessions per person, per issue, confidential, with not, it doesn't even have to be with a military provider. It can be with a private provider. Maybe you're having a little anger management. Maybe you're a little stressed out. Maybe you're a little depressed. Whatever it is, you know, you owe it to yourself and your family. You did the hard part. You deployed. You're home now, and your family wants you safe and sound. So,
and I did want to say one thing. In the entire history of the draft fund, I only have one regret.
What's that?
That we cannot post that awesome picture of Captain Lazaro, his guys, and the ANA all wearing Stan and Haney t-shirts in the field.
Yeah, the Afghan National
Security
Army,
reasons.
ANA. Exactly.
Can't do it, but they all got them.
Yeah, and we kid around a lot, but again, I want to thank all of you, Mark, Dave. I mean, you're a great guy, Dave, and you know
we
really do like you, Dave, and you know, you mean well, and Stan, of course, and everyone for putting this draft fund together, and
it's been a great success.
I'm just glad to be associated with it. It's an honor and a pleasure and a privilege to be here today.
Are you kidding me? You are it.
Well, thank you again. It's my pleasure to help and assist with it.
We all squared away for May 1st.
We are exactly squared away for May 1st.
That's all I needed to know.
You're good to go.
Thank you.
Yep.
Captain Lazaro, thank you so much.
God bless you, and we're praying for your dad.
Thank you, Dad. Get well soon. We love you. Take care.
Stan and Haney, 96 K Rock.
Somewhere in Southwest Florida, an ancient evil stirs. Then Stan and Haney stepped on it. You're welcome. And remember, kids, evil is for pussies. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us. Good Friday. And we want to thank Captain Lazaro.
Always a pleasure to see the captain.
From the Absolute Law text line, Dave in the Marines, two words, meat shield.
You didn't really think that through, did you?
No, man. That was that.
Do you
like
remember
I said,
that day?
Yeah, I do.
Do you remember how you ended up there? Was it like you planned the day before that you were going to go, got out of bed and went there, or were you out drinking and thought it was a good idea?
I was so upset after September 11th. I was out drinking and smoking, and it percolated for a good five-day session. And finally, I went in there, and I was like, that's it. I gotta go help out my country. And
they said no thanks.
They said, just like they did at school.
Just like at school, this is not the place.
Do you
remember exactly what the recruiter said to you?
Well, he gave him a T-shirt, remember?
Yeah, and a sticker, and a pamphlet.
And a coloring book.
You know, some people don't get in because their feet are too big, their eyesight's not good, they don't meet the height requirements, there might be some kind of malady that they might have. You know, completely normal, but you can't be in the military. They just took a look at Dave and said, uh-uh.
Yeah.
don't even bother.
Do you remember what he said to you?
Was your mind clear enough?
Yeah, I do remember because he knew I was
messed
buzzed.
Up.
Yeah, they knew I was buzzed. And then the guy says, look, man, we really don't think this is good for you. We really don't think. And not only that, you're 24 at the time. He goes, or I was 25 at the time, I think. And he says, you know, they're going to call you grandpa. And he started telling me all these things that they would, because they're like 18-year-olds all in there signing up.
Here's the absolute long text line.
I don't see anybody ever calling you grandpa.
Here's what Dave had on his mind. Semen.
That's so bad. Bro.
So uncool.
Yeah, not cool,
not
man.
Cool.
Not
that is,
cool.
Oh, wow. Let's get you updated
text
on traffic.
Text line tough guys, man.
On Fridays, we hand it over to Mr. Traffic himself.
Damn right.
Now. K-Rock Traffic.
That's right, Stan. I am Mr. Traffic. Woo! All right. We got three on the board here. Let's start in Lehigh Acres. Yeah. We have a crash. Leonard Boulevard and Noble Avenue. Be on the lookout for that there. Fort Myers, we have a crash. Buckingham Road and Old Olga Road. And Fort Myers crash, South Tamiami Trail, 18,000 block of South Tamiami Trail in front of the Ace Hardware. You're up to date. Another update, 30 minutes.
Appreciate that. Coming up in less than 1 hour, it will be the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchor man, Mark Caney. He is the news. What can you expect? Well, he's about ready to tell you. He's got today's headlines. Meat shield.
He's not big enough.
No.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you did not know.
Alrighty.
You know, this is terrible. We just can't have nice things.
No, we can't.
We bring you tidings of joy when restaurants come up with new menu items.
Yeah.
Today, we have to tell you, McDonald's is taking something away from you.
Oh, they are they?
Yep. And we also have a curious restaurant trend. You get a discount if you bring your own dishes.
Right on.
John Travolta is an international superstar.
Yes, he is.
But years and years ago, long before Saturday Night Fever in Greece, he was the boy in the plastic bubble.
He sure was. That was his first break from Welcome Back, Kotter.
Well, researchers at St. Jude's Children's Hospital believe they may have the cure for that disease.
That would be huge.
It sure would be.
Of course, that St. Jude's, they do all that good stuff, Danny Thomas.
We'll tell you about an 82-year-old woman who I think is just phenomenal. She likes to treat her neighbors to music.
Yep, toe tappers.
Mm-hmm. Make sure you keep that in a CD player. And finally, I mentioned this a couple of days ago. Now I've got all the details on it. very interesting story. A couple is trying to create their own country out in the ocean. They claim they are living in international waters and they are under no one's authority, but the Thai government is threatening to kill them. These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. It's Friday. Laughter. Oh, yeah, it's 4 o'clock fluffer time. Brought to you by
Coastal Cooling and Daikin.
Haney.
Stan.
Dave.
Haney.
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Ladies, happy Good Friday. Season's greetings.
Well, it's that time of year again.
It sure is.
With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
tips for having a great Easter.
Top tips for having a great Easter.
Find a quiet room. Take a seat.
Yeah.
And don't move until everyone's gone.
Right on.
Is that what you're doing, Dave?
Maybe.
Don't be boring. Hide fun stuff in the plastic eggs like candy and grandma's pills.
Yeah, love it.
Don't vomit in the bunny suit. Go to a brunch with bottomless mimosas.
Ah, yeah.
And bottomless servers.
Yep. Laugh it up.
Yeah. See who can pretend to be the most devastated by the Notre Dame fire.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yep, that'll be the talk of the table.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, as you're carving up the Easter lamb or ham or... Mm-hmm. Yep, yep. Did you hear about Notre Dame?
Yeah. Tragic.
It is, Dave.
I know.
Just for S and giggles, drill a small hole in the Cadbury egg and replace the cream with motor oil.
Yeah. Idiots.
Enjoy a lovely Sunday brunch while passing the Mueller report around the table.
Sure. Yeah.
Send your kids out on a hunt for eggs you never actually hit and enjoy the peace and quiet.
Yep.
And finally, the very top tip for having a great Easter.
Yes.
If you have pets, be very careful before you pick up a brown egg.
Laugh it up.
And that, my friends, is the 4 o'clock.
Albert! Up the building.
You did that, didn't you, Dave?
Yeah, I picked up a brown egg or two.
Go out in the backyard Easter egg hunting, you're picking up a turd.
Yep. Look, I found one.
Yep. It's squishy.
Yeah, put that down, Davey.
Smells funny.
Yep, and his dad's muttered under his breath, damn camping trip.
Yep.
Let me ask you.
Why he's drinking the cold beer.
Do you ever hunt for Easter eggs? Were your parents, because you were an unwanted baby, your other family members had grown up, did they ever do Easter egg hunts for you?
Not really. No, because I hung out with the neighbors and they entertained me.
They did it.
Yeah.
They'd hide eggs for you, the neighbors?
Yeah, they put quarters in there.
You know, the odd thing is it doesn't matter where you live, and I've known you a while. You've lived many places.
Yeah.
You always seem to be closer to your neighbors than your family.
I know all my neighbors.
Yeah, that's where he gets the drugs.
Well, and occasionally it pays off, like when he lived next door to the Ventures.
Dick Dale.
Damn right.
This is from...
Jealous.
Oh, we have to address this, because she did call in yesterday. She called in at the wrong time, I think when we were doing news... And it sat on hold.
Oh, Lauren?
Yes. We got a letter from her. She feels very bad.
Oh, I don't want her to feel bad.
Well,
she's hot.
Yep. Well, we assume.
Is she?
Well, she flat out said that she was a 9 out of 10.
And we believe her.
Of course we do. Why would anyone lie about
that? Ahoy, gentlemen. I called and got through on the show about 3 days ago. I wanted to tell you two how much I loved the show, and I asked if there was anything I could do to show my support. Well, the conversation did not go as I had hoped.
I might have accidentally asked her to marry me.
Wait a second. In my excitement to speak with you, I said something that was out of my character, and it's been rotting my mind ever since.
Well, we don't want our mind rotting.
When Mr. Haney was making a joke and said to come down to the station, I replied about Mr. Haney's kinks. I want to apologize to you both.
What'd she say about my kinks?
We may have to go back to the tape. I don't remember what
happened
2 hours ago.
I don't remember saying
anything
about my kinks.
I would like to apologize to the both of you. If my comment was inappropriate, I feel that I was. I'm sorry if I was out of line. In spite of this, I am still curious about how I can support the show. If there is anything I can do, is there any way? If not, is there any way I could get a picture with the two of you, or maybe an autograph? It would mean the world to me. I love you. I love your show so much. I can't wait to hear what you have to say today. Thank you for reading. Sincerely, Lauren of Cape Coral. That's Annie Zed. Come on down.
Yeah, absolutely. Come take a picture, and at our wedding, there'll be plenty of pictures.
Yeah. This is Tommy in Naples. Ahoy, guys. I've been tuning in and out of the show today, shocked and saddened to hear about the passing of longtime friend of the show, Chet Kopic.
We love Chet.
From injuries sustained in an automobile accident last week. Many thoughts and prayers to him and his family. Signed, Tommy in Naples.
One of the greats.
Yep. This is from, well, he didn't want his name given. I got his name, but I won't give it. Subject, Julian Assange. Why is he the scapegoat? If you read the report, his fingerprints are all over the supposed Russian investigation. That's why the Ecuadorian embassy kicked him out. I'm with you guys. This will never end until socialism takes over our beloved United States. This is
well, isn't there an argument to be made, Stan, that there was election interference in 2016 all over the place? But couldn't you also argue that the midterms of 2018 were also meddled with?
Sure.
Because there was an investigation of a crime that didn't exist.
Didn't occur.
And people may have voted based on wrong information.
Yeah, that's true.
That was being fed to them on a daily basis.
Absolute Law text line. Speaking of Easter, Dave was at our home 2 years ago, singing karaoke and eating great food. Haven't heard from him since. Even bought him smokes and booze.
Well, that doesn't guarantee you anything.
No,
Dave.
It certainly doesn't. Don't I know it? This is from our buddy Dallas from Michigan. Well, I'm still recovering from surgery, and I just wanted to wish Haney a very happy birthday.
Thank you, Dallas.
Thank God for the podcast, because I was able to save every episode. I am still way behind, well, February, but I am catching up. Dave is still an idiot, I see.
But that's February, Dave.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't worry.
This is April,
this
Dave.
Is April.
Yeah, man.
Idiot Dave in April.
About a month left in the year, Stan.
Yep. This is from Robert. Ahoy, Stan and Haney. Stan, you yesterday referred to smart, educated people that you know. What you don't realize is just because you're educated, it does not mean you're intelligent.
Amen.
Some of the dumbest people I have met in my 57 years on this planet are so-called educated. Signed, Robert. Oh, Professor Robert.
He knows. Well, I mean, you know, education of itself is neither good or bad. It's what are you being educated with?
Yep.
If you're being told...
What are you being reinforced with?
If you're being told you need to devote your life to gender studies, that's not a good education.
Just to the texter, go ahead, invite Dave again. Trust me, you'll hear from him.
Well, if it's the same arrangement.
Yeah.
Right on.
Damn right.
This is from Don, answering our question of the week. Ahoy, gents. Back in 1973, my teenage girlfriend and I got tired of living with her trampy sister in Fort Myers, and I wanted to go back to school, so we moved to Gainesville, rented a brand new one-bedroom furnished apartment at Gatorwood Apartments. 1973 money, $165 a month. I enrolled in Santa Fe Community College. We both got restaurant jobs, and I can remember listening to Elton John playing at the Gator Growl from our balcony. Conceived our first son there, too. And yes, we're still together. Love that town.
That's outstanding.
Yep.
You're really lucky if you find somebody you can live with. You know, somebody who doesn't pull guns on you.
Yeah.
Crack you over the head when you're sleeping.
Yep.
Voodoo.
Yeah.
That's a good sign.
Yeah.
If you don't feel safe in your own bed,
there's a problem.
You might have a problem.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Guardian.
Jesus.
Any hot words we need to be aware of?
He wants to talk about his first apartment. Oh, my God. This has got to be back in the 50s. Ahoy, gentlemen. Well, just as we thought the left is losing their minds now that they want Mueller to testify, which I say is a good thing. Maybe once they hear
How many times can they ask him about something that never happened?
Maybe they will shut up. So, guys, my first place was a sweet deal. It was above a garage, one bedroom, nice size, kitchen, small living room, full bath, and it was fully furnished. And as a bonus, it had a great view. Now, you must remember, this is 1971. My rent was $65 a month.
Oh, yeah.
I had great landlords, very nice people, and as I said, it was a great view. So, just what was that view? They had a hot 23-year-old daughter who liked to sunbathe in the backyard.
Nice.
Yeah. Wonder about her today. She'd probably be in her 60s now. They call her grandma. God, those were great days, but I guess you can't go back. Have a great weekend. You guys are the best. Signed, The Guardian.
Jesus.
You know, my grandmother, I've told you before, and it was a great thing and was pretty commonplace in those days. She had a garage apartment she would rent out.
Yes.
Man, I wish she still had that right by the beach.
Mm-hmm. Some it's of like those are very cool.
It's like we've lost everything.
Yeah. One day I'll tell you about a great story. Girl I was seeing.
Your grandmother had a place that if it was still in the family that you'd enjoy staying at. Yeah.
I was living in Orlando. Girlfriend I was seeing had a beautiful apartment, brand new one. But she thought it would be a good idea. She wanted to have real wood floors and old feeling floor. And there was a gentleman that had a house in the old section of Orlando that had an apartment above a garage.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful place. It was beautiful. It was really old. She lasted there about a month because she'd hear the creaking of the floors, the house settling, and got all scared.
Yeah, she wanted to experience old Florida, but not really.
No, wanted new again. And then she went and bought new again. We'll be back. Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
Stan and Haney. Don't worry. They're only doing their C-list material right now. It'll get better. 96K Rock.
Don't count on it. What the hell are you talking about? Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Greatly appreciated. It's Good Friday. Everybody getting ready for the Easter weekend. I know Dave the Waterman is waiting for invites.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
man.
Right on.
Who's got the best gig going
sure.
on?
Sure. All right, let's get you updated on traffic for your drive home this afternoon. Here he is, Dave.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, all right, all right, Stan. Woo! It's Friday, bro. Woo! Good Friday at that. All right, let's start in North Fort Myers. We have a vehicle daving around, which is disabled.
Yeah.
On North Tamiami Trail and Pine Island Road, so be on the lookout for that there. And then in Fort Myers, we have a crash, McGregor Boulevard and Pine Ridge Road. And you are up to date. Another update, 30 minutes.
Appreciate that. The G-Spot, the safe word, will return on Monday. Of course, being a holiday today, safe word. But you can hit the G-Spot starting again on Monday with Dave and Chuck the Freak. Just listen for the safe word. We do it at weekdays, 8, 11, 1, 4, and 6 p.m. Enter the word on 96krock.com, on the K-Rock app, on your mobile device, or text the word to 45911. One lucky multi-market winner will score $1,000, and all web and app entries automatically qualified for the $10,000 grand prize. It happens 5 times a day. It'll start up again on Monday. Ahoy, who's this?
Hi, this is Billy.
Hi, Billy. How are you? Happy Easter.
Yeah.
You doing anything for Easter?
I probably got to go to my nana's.
Okay. That's what you do every year, huh? Go over there and maybe have some ham or something like that?
Yeah. I like going to Nana's because she doesn't hate me as much as my mom does.
Well, you know, it's your grandma, and you know what? Everybody loves their grandma, and sometimes parents have to be disciplinarians. They're the ones that have to raise you. Grandma can just enjoy you and give you all the little treats and snacks.
Yeah. Yeah.
What can I do for you, Billy?
I was just listening to Dave talking about that time he was a Marine.
Well, yeah. You look, he's here if you want to talk to him about it. I don't think he was a Marine. Billy, Dave's here.
Yeah, how you doing, Billy? How you doing today? Happy Easter, buddy.
Hey, Waterman.
How you doing, man?
Man, you rock.
Hey, I appreciate it. I appreciate it, buddy. I really do, man. You know what, bro? You're probably the most bitching kid in Southwest Florida, man.
Well, let me tell you.
Yeah.
You're pretty bitching yourself.
Right on, bro. Yeah. Right on.
You wanted to talk to him about the Marines, didn't you, Billy?
Well, I was just wondering because sometimes my mom threatens to send me to military school, and I was wondering what I should do to get kicked out of the Marine Corps.
Man, Billy, look.
Hey, so tell him how. Where he doesn't have to go.
I got threatened to go to military school at one point. What I did, Billy, is I ran away from home. You know, I took off.
Billy. Don't run away from home.
Cool.
Oh, man, yeah, because I was out. Check it out, Billy, man. I had a tent, you know. And I had some, you know, gather some wood, bro. And I built a little campsite, man. Just hung out there, and my buddies would come visit. I could stay up all night, you know.
Don't tell them that.
Do stuff,
that is
hang out.
Bitchin'.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. But in your case, Billy, I don't know. You maybe try. So you're wanting to get kicked out, right?
Well, yeah, it hasn't happened, but she always threatens that if I don't do what she says, and if I don't, like, she treats me like a slave, and Like, Billy, if you don't wash the car, I'm going to make you go to military.
It's called chores, Billy. You take out the garbage, wash the car, clean up after the pet, stuff like that. That's chores, man. Billy. That's not anything to run away from or join the Marines.
But it's not fair. I got to do everything. F that bitch. She's not
crazy. That's your mom.
Yeah, Billy. You know what? That bitch mom of yours, man.
What are you doing telling
him
that?
I'm telling you, bro. Have you made that YouTube video yet of her eating something, just rotten? Made some cash on that?
Kind of embarrassed to say that I don't have the balls to do that.
All right. I get it, man.
You guys are so cool.
Yeah.
I appreciate it, Billy.
What are you doing right now, Billy? Are you have your own cell phone? Are you borrowing to parents? Are you in your room? What are you doing now?
Yeah, I have my own phone, but it's not really what you think. It's only so she can use it to control me and know where I am at all times. She put some sort of lost baby app, so she always knows where I am with GPS.
All right, but you're at home now, aren't you?
Yeah, I gotta be.
You're in your room?
I got in trouble this week.
What happened?
Uh-oh.
I got in a fight at school.
Dude, did you win, bro? Did you win? Did you kick some
fight?
Butt? Yeah, bro.
Oh, yeah, I destroyed a little.
Right
on! Hey! You, a little, what, did you fight somebody younger than you, Billy?
No, about my age, but I blew him up.
You gave
he was bleeding from his nose and his ear.
Nice, you gave it to him.
What? He was bleeding from his nose and his ears?
Yeah, because when I hit him, it knocked his earring. He's a little puss.
Yeah.
And we got into a fight because he got real, real pushy about it because I said, there are only two biological sexes, a man and a woman.
Right on, Billy. Right on. Told him all about it, and he got all huffy on you, didn't he?
Yeah, he started talking all kinds of crazy nonsense that gender is a construct of society. Ugh. And I said, F you, you're one or the other.
Right on.
So what did the one you beat up and bleeding from the ears, what did he identify as?
Gender queer.
Oh, Billy.
I guess you got you know what, Billy, I'm telling you right now, you go and say that you're the bad guy for you must have got into huge trouble.
Oh, I'm in big trouble. And
you don't seem to care though.
No.
Always that monotone, drugged out voice.
Because he's I think what really got me in trouble is because I said there's only two genders, and you're not very good at either one of them.
Ah, that,
right on.
That one, yep. That's why he couldn't even choose. Not good at either one of them. So what is he? What was he?
He calls himself gender queer.
Okay. And you put him on Queer Street.
On me, and everybody yelled at me that I'm inappropriate.
You are. That's the way it is now. You're not growing up when we were kids, Billy. You're growing up in the 21st century, and there are new rules. And you got to live by them. Doesn't your parents tell you about that, too? Is that what they have to tell you about that going to school?
I get into fights all the time. Like the last one before this one is when I got in trouble because I said the earth is round.
Yeah, well, it is round.
It is round, Billy.
But nobody believes that.
So you're saying everybody your age believes in the flat earth? The
flat earthers. That's what they are, those flat earthers.
Because of YouTube.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Unbelievable, Billy.
You ever been on an airplane, Billy, where you go to across the other side of the globe, and sometimes when you're up high enough, you can actually see the curvature of the Earth. Have you ever been on an airplane, Billy?
No, I've never been on an airplane, but I've read an S-load of science book.
Yeah,
right
well, there
on,
you go.
Man.
That's Dave, too. You got
right
a lot in common
on,
with him.
Bro.
He likes reading science books, you know, big lettered ones.
Oh, yeah.
And watching TV documentaries.
Absolutely, Billy. You like
oh,
watching,
yeah.
like, Discovery and History?
Yeah, especially about explosions and demolitions.
Oh, man, that's where you get all your info from, bro. That's all the education you need, Billy. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, military
yeah.
school isn't going to do nothing for you, man. That's just a yeah. waste of your parents' money, man.
Yeah, reminds me of the time I got into a fight over at what temperature steel burned and the fact that only it could have been thermite.
Right,
9-1-1.
Right.
9-1-1.
Yeah, all into that. I hear you, man.
I bet you
and
do.
Then I, said,
I bet you do,
I
Timothy.
Said, yeah, and then I got in trouble because I said, what about WTC-7? And
yeah.
I say, and they say yeah. you're not allowed to talk about it.
Yeah.
Wait a second. Are you into all of this conspiracy stuff, Billy? Is that what you're reading?
I look at YouTube, too.
Right, right,
you know,
right.
You shouldn't get but all your information
watch,
from that.
I only watch the good stuff.
I thought you, was, you go to school. They'll teach you about stuff at school, too. Don't read. Everything in, on
Stan.
YouTube isn't necessarily the truth, Billy.
I think that school is a joke. Because
right on.
They keep teaching the same things over and over again with different teachers
right.
like I've never heard
well,
it before.
Well, how many times have
then,
you stayed back?
I haven't stayed back.
You haven't?
Billy.
They just keep teaching the same stuff over and over
bro.
Again.
Bro.
And most of it's about global warming and being gay.
Oh, forget all that, Billy. You know what you need to do, bro? You need to follow my path.
No, no, he doesn't. Look at you.
You need to follow my path,
look at
Billy.
You.
Go to night school, bro. That's where the
well,
action is.
You know what?
Is.
You did bring up a point. Have you thought about night school, Billy, and just get out of the regular curriculum and just take classes at
yeah.
night?
Get out of daytime elementary. Get into nighttime elementary school, man. Or middle
wait,
school.
Wait a second.
Middle school.
You
yeah.
went to nighttime elementary school?
Yeah, nighttime. Yep. Didn't even make it to middle school. He couldn't
yeah.
even be around with, like, the 8 and 9 year olds. They had to take him out.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know there was night school for elementary kids.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. They've got night school for
all. Are you
all.
Sure? Oh, hold on. Are you sure? Did you go to night school, elementary
well,
school?
Well, I didn't go to night elementary school, but that's like a night daycare, man, you know, sort of thing. So I'm sure that's there.
You didn't know, even know what you're doing.
Yeah,
are
I
they,
do.
So you say they're cooler at night school?
Of course, man. Come on. Night
right.
school's where it's at. That's why I said that's where the action's at. That's where the partying's at, bro.
It's where the chicks are.
The loose women, which you're all
so,
about.
So, Dave, check it out. If I went to night school,
yeah,
and I showed up for class with my T-shirt with an American flag, would I be sent home?
No way, bro. No. You'd be very much so welcomed.
You could
because,
even be like Dave and get tattoos on your back that say suicidal tendencies.
Yeah, bro.
Oh, bitchin'.
I'm telling you, man. Be just like me, buddy.
Yeah, be just like
yeah.
him. What a role model.
I wore a T-shirt that had an eagle
mm-hmm.
and an American flag. It was really badass.
Right on. Right
and,
on.
And I got sent home because I'm a racist.
That is just not cool, Billy.
Yeah.
Night school's where it's at, bro.
Night elementary it's, school.
Yeah.
Because I guess if you wear the American flag, it makes Mexican kids uncomfortable.
Yep, it does. Yep. You ever thought about maybe being homeschooled?
Oh, hell no.
No.
I can't stand to be around that bitch.
You know why? Yeah, exactly. Your bitch mom would have to do that for you.
Yeah, friggin' lesbo.
I gotta go now, Billy.
Yep. She's a scissor queen.
I gotta go now. All right,
okay.
buddy? All right, we got things to do.
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
Get
and
some, Billy.
Stay out of trouble, Billy.
Hell yeah.
Damn right. Love that kid.
Yeah. Leading him right down a path. So you went to night elementary school.
Yeah.
What the hell? We'll be back.
Success.
Yeah. Stan and Haney.
Let me have a Diablo sandwich, a Dr. Pepper. Make it fast. I'm in a goddamn hurry.
Man, when I'm drunk, I got my beer goggles on. Got a
Chubby the Chains. Gotta find me a fat girl, fattest girl in the place. But when she stands there, I don't care that she weighs so much. More cushion for the pushing motion in the ocean. That's twice as much love. She tastes just like gravy. She tastes just like gravy. She tastes just like gravy and blue cheese. She's the biggest girl. She's twice, at least twice my size. Come on, now let me hear you move, hear you move, hear you move, hear you move like a cow. Ha, 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 fat chicks rule, and they do things skinny chicks just won't do. She tastes like grass. Drunk, they seem little, but it turns out to be tons of fun. Had to roll over twice to get off this one. And then she cooks when we're done. Woo! Cooking biscuits and gravy. She cooking biscuits and gravy. I love biscuits and gravy.
Don't worry, they're only doing their C-list material right now. It'll get better. 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. It's Stan and Haney here. Thank you for joining us on Good Friday as you get ready for your Easter weekend. Some of you get a three-day weekend out of it. So good for you. Mark Haney in the news coming up here in just seconds. 6 o'clock. Rob Show, take you through your evening. Let's get you updated on your drive home. Because I'm telling you, people are traveling today. People are working today. It's a busy day out there.
But not so much here. I think we're the only ones here.
Yeah, we are.
Are we?
Well, technically. Let me explain something. They'll send big messages through the office email. Congratulations, we're making it a three-day weekend, or, hey, be sure to join us at 5 o'clock where we're having cocktails and heavy apps. And all. And
I don't think I'm on the list.
No. This place will clean out. They don't realize that I'm getting the email, too. We're all getting the email, but we can't. Dave, ready?
I'm ready, brother.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, everybody.
Woo, happy Good Friday. Be safe.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, man. Be safe on them roads out there.
Yeah.
Plus, it's raining right now.
Knight Elementary School.
That's right, brother.
You went to Knight Elementary School.
Dude, every school I went to was at night.
Yep. Oh, look at this. Absolute Law text line. Hey, I saw the Waterman and Billy yesterday at the McDonald's on 41 and Crystal. I think Dave was teaching Billy how to grift.
That Billy's a smart kid.
Yeah.
He's learning.
A lot goes on at that McDonald's.
A lot.
Mm-hmm. He's learning. All right, we got one on the board here. North Fort Myers crash, and that's North Tamiami Trail right in front of the Speedway, and you're up to date.
Appreciate it.
30 minutes.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're at that McDonald's, and probably you're either coming or going from the bar at Gator Lane.
Yes, sir. Mark Haney and the News, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. Starts right now.
From News Headquarters, this is the evening news and a special report on federal judges tonight in Trouble with the Law.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Friday, April 19th.
Double M-X-I-X.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Time now for things you did not know. You familiar with the baseball club, the Kansas City Royals?
Yeah. They were established, I believe, in 1969.
Well, Kansas City, you know, I think of barbecue and cattle and whatnot. Why are they called the Royals?
Because maybe the original owner was Royal Crown Cola?
Well, sounds plausible.
Is that it?
Normally, I'd accept it, but... The Kansas City Royals got their name from the American Royal. That is an annual rodeo and barbecue competition that dates back to 1899.
Right on. It's been a long time since I've been to a rodeo.
Been to more than one.
Yeah.
Long time ago, my first rodeo. Which planetary body is larger, the moon or Pluto?
I think I know this. Would you like to answer it, Dave? Hold it. Before you answer it,
yes.
I'm going to write my answer down on a piece of paper, and then I will reveal it. Now, wait a second. Which is larger? Go ahead. Which one? Which what?
The moon or Pluto?
All right. Let's write our answers down. Don't copy, Dave, like you do in elementary school.
I'm not copying.
And if you want to go for bonus, which one do you think is bigger and how much bigger? And percentages.
Okay.
Moon versus Pluto. Which one is bigger?
All right, I've written. Stop.
Okay.
Is this why you went to night school?
No, I got it.
Night elementary
school. I got it.
All right. I will reveal. You reveal yours.
Okay.
You say the moon and 75% bigger.
All right.
I say the moon and 30% bigger.
Well, are we going with the rules without going over?
Yeah, let's go with the rules without going over 75%.
The moon is larger than Pluto. By a substantial margin.
How much?
It is about 46% larger.
I only missed it by 16%. Ding, 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 ding. I'm a winner.
I didn't go over.
And I didn't go over to the actual percentage size. Retail percentage size. Mm-hmm. Ding, ding, ding. I win.
Whatever.
Because I went to public elementary school.
Well, I went to night elementary school.
Yep. Comes out now.
Mm-hmm. We all know Snoop Dogg.
Damn right.
Friendly guy. Brand name.
A little gin and
mainstream.
Juice.
Host
of Joker's Wild.
Snoop Dogg was on trial for murder in 1993 after his bodyguard shot a guy Who was representing Snoop Dogg in that case?
Who?
Johnny Cochring.
Ah.
And like OJ, just a few years later, Snoop was acquitted.
Yep.
Rhinos.
Yeah.
Rhinoceros.
You got your black rhinos, your white rhinos.
Now think about it. Do rhinos have any natural predators?
I would say no, since you're bringing that up. I'd say rhinos do not have any natural predators.
All right. Then how do they fit in the food chain? Because some of them have to die. They can't all live.
No.
But they don't have any predators.
Man.
Well, in certain areas, yes.
We kill them for their horns and all that, which is actually clumped up hair.
But let's just assume man is not even involved.
Okay.
Rhinos do not have any natural predators, but they kill each other more than any other mammal.
Oh, I believe it.
About 50% of all male rhinos and 30% of females die from combat injuries sustained with other rhinos.
Yeah, when they get into rut.
Mm-hmm. No, that's mine. No, it's not.
Yep.
And
they don't see very well.
Yep. And so, oops, I didn't realize you were a girl.
Yeah. Oops-a-daisy.
You know, many times on this show, we bring you fast food nonsense and what have you. And it's usually regarding an exciting menu addition.
Yeah.
Sadly, today, I guess we're not allowed to have nice things because we actually have a menu subtraction. McDonald's just announced it is killing off its line of signature crafted recipes. Those are the premium and more expensive burgers like the Bacon Smokehouse and your Mushroom and Swiss.
I've had that Mushroom and Swiss, and I like it, but you know what? I can understand it, because you can have a Mushroom and Swiss, and they're a little bit more expensive. But nothing satisfies like a Big Mac. Nothing. You can have Mushroom and Swiss. You can have your hickory, whatever. You get a hankering for a Big Mac, you're going to McDonald's and getting one.
McDonald's introduced them 2 years ago in an effort to get on the more expensive fast burger trend to compete with places like Five Guys. Mm. It didn't work.
Nope.
A new restaurant trend. You seem somewhat excited by it, Stan.
Oh, yo, all right. Yeah, I remember from the headlines. Yeah, I like this. I like this idea.
There's a new trend where some restaurants offer customers discounts for bringing their own dishes to the restaurant.
Love it. Extra value is what you get when you buy Coronet.
Well, if you buy Coronet, nobody's got to worry about it.
No. No spills. It holds up to even the toughest.
You know, when you got kids, it's the only way to go. You want some Cheetos?
Cheetos.
There's a small chain called Just Salad that is leading the trend. You bring in a bowl, you can get a month of salad.
What?
You can get a month of salad.
So go in there for a month and you'll get salad if you bring in a bowl.
Yes. What? You bring them a bowl.
Yeah.
You get a month of salad for $129.
That's ridiculous. Does it come with all the fixings?
Well, it's supposed to work out to be a good deal because they think a lot of their salads, they run about $12.
$12 for a salad.
Mm-hmm.
I can go to the Cracker Barrel and get $1.99 side Caesar.
Now, they received an award from the EPA for the program, Your Tax Dollars at Work.
Oh, croutons.
And they say that their scheme is saving more than 75,000 pounds of plastic a year.
Oh, cut the crap.
According to the director of a nonprofit called the Earth Day Initiative, better get used to it. That's how things are going.
Oh, really? That we got to bring our own bowls into a restaurant?
Yeah, that's where they want everything to go.
Yeah.
Well, you do. We're not allowed to have nice things.
Maybe I can get like a supersized bowl, though, and really load up. Especially if they have like the bacon bits, the black olives, the green peppers, the cherry tomatoes, and all that stuff on the that you can, and maybe some coleslaw. Yeah, all in one big bowl.
So you
my
want,
bowl.
So you'd like them to put coleslaw on top of your salad?
No, you leave it on the side. That's what I do when I go like to the salad bar. I like coleslaw, so I'll have my tossed salad. But then tucked on the edge of it, I'll put a spoonful of slaw.
Well, in the interest of full disclosure, I've seen Stan at a buffet, and it's a mess.
Yep, it is.
You'd be amazed how many plates this man can carry when he wants to.
Well, if they're offering it.
And one of them will be nothing but crab leg.
Oh, remember that day? Remember that day at the Wynn?
I bought.
Yep. What was it, a dollar? Hold it. You had to get so many points. We split that because the next day we went and I bought.
Yeah, you bought the next day.
Yeah.
I bought that day.
Yeah.
And you fought me over it, too, until you got in there and go, they got crab legs.
Yeah, as many as you could eat.
Haney, I don't want to go, oh, they got crab legs.
Yeah, they had a whole, what they call a whole seafood station.
Yeah, and so initially he didn't want to go there. We went there and ate, and guess what? Then we went back the next day.
Yeah, I got some points, and we went there the next day. And they had another section, too. Oh, yeah, they got the carving station with the roast beef. But they also had, like, steaks. They had, like, filet mignons.
That was the best buffet I've ever seen.
Ever.
That was, like, you know, a top-flight restaurant that just put it all out there.
Yeah. It was veal cutlets. Anything you wanted.
Bro.
Yeah.
And
we had like for dessert they had cake, but it was like 6-layer cake.
Mm-hmm. It was ridiculous.
You kidding me?
Yeah. That was a highlight, and then the steakhouse we went to at like 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah, at the Flamingo.
Yep.
Yep.
It was like a mobster steakhouse, full-service restaurant in the middle of the night. It was glorious. Glorious.
Yeah, went there, told them give us the two biggest steaks you got.
Damn right.
And they liked it.
Yeah.
They like that style.
Yeah, yeah.
Love it.
In a moment.
Visit Jason and Todd at the Diamond District.
We are asked often if the Diamond District is a retail or wholesale jewelry store. Well, we're both.
We're wholesale diamond brokers, selling to the public, and the Diamond District sells to jewelry stores around the country. We have the largest selection of GIA and Forevermark loose certified diamonds, all priced at wholesale, below what you'll find on the internet.
On the retail side, you can visit the Diamond District every day. We have a beautiful showroom where you can relax, work with an educated team of professionals, including two GIA graduate gemologists, and view the largest selection of GIA and Forevermark loose certified diamonds, along with the largest selection of diamond fashion jewelry in Southwest Florida.
The Diamond District selection includes over 3,000 engagement rings from world-renowned designers, including Tacori, Verragio, and many more. With the selection, wholesale pricing, and comfortable environment, you simply won't find a better diamond buying experience than with the Diamond District.
And now, back to Haney's News
on the Stan and Haney Show.
I am Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill, long before John Travolta became a big-time star in Saturday Night Fever, Grease, and then later Pulp Fiction, he was best known for an ABC television movie called The Boy in the Plastic Bubble.
Remember it well.
Researchers at St. Jude's Children's Hospital in Memphis announced a new treatment that could totally cure that disease. The disease he had in the movie is called severely combined immunodeficiency.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Whoa. Are we on the air?
That was crazy.
We might not be on the air. That was a doozy.
What was?
That was the electricity.
Whoa.
The electricity is like it was about to go out, but then fought it.
Yeah. Oh, it went out for like a split second.
But it didn't want to be out, and it kind of came halfway on for a while until it flickered back.
And you know what? Something like that goes on. You know, the only thing that I've never seen again in here was the floating ball. Remember that? When we were talking about ghosts and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And we saw a ball floating?
Yes.
Wow.
And the time I got hit by lightning.
Well, you didn't see that. I did. You arced. Right over your head.
Yeah, because I'm looking at you and I'm going, oh, yeah. You look freaked out. What's wrong? Yeah. Haney, you didn't see it.
You just got poked.
Pole zapped. Anyway, they've cured that disease. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
There's an 82-year-old woman. Her name is Stella Mason. She lives in Scotland, and back in 2016, she had, a falling out with the family that lived next door to her. Stella began torturing the family by blasting music at all hours, and not just any music. A very specific kind of music, a song that she particularly loved from the 1920s, a song called The Laughing Policeman. She would blast it at all hours, and she'd put in, her own earbuds, so she didn't hear it.
Yeah.
But she's blasted at her neighbors at all hours. And if you're wondering, well, how bad could it be?
Yeah.
Here's a taste.
I know a fat old policeman. He's always on our street. A fat and jolly red-faced man. He really is a treat. He's too kind for a policeman. He's never known to frown. And everybody says he is the happiest man in town.
You like that, Dave?
Yeah.
He loves it.
Love it.
Hey, that was a toe tapper.
Oh, the first time around.
Yeah, can you imagine? For years. 2 years.
When the police finally showed up, responding to more than a year of complaints, they wouldn't even come out until after a year had gone by.
And just playing music.
They found Stella had her speakers pointed directly towards the wall of the neighbor's house, and she was wearing earplugs. So she didn't hear it. After 2 years of her blasting the laughing policeman, she was finally arrested last year on a charge of engaging in a course of conduct to cause fear or alarm.
How can that put fear into anybody?
I don't know. But the English system of justice is very wordy.
Yeah.
And she pled guilty in court this week. The end of it? She was fined $585. And the 82-year-old scrapper, she knows when she's beaten. So she simply moved away rather than coexist with that bastard family.
Yeah, I get. Well, I guess the what was it though, that I had read that their van was blocking the sunshine from hitting her home. She couldn't even grow her petunias.
Oh.
Yeah. So they play that song.
Time to attack.
Yeah.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, this is actually a fairly common fantasy. It's talked a lot about in libertarian circles. The idea of living in international waters. The idea being, you are not beholden to any nation state. You can rule yourself. If there are any laws, it's ones you made up. And for one couple, it has left the realm of fantasy and become reality. And this couple is learning how difficult so-called seasteading is. The man's name is Chad Elwartkowski. He's originally from Michigan. He is what they call a Bitcoin millionaire. And he and his Thai wife recently decided to move into a small floating pod located 12 nauticals away from the island of...
Don't even.
It's pronounced Phuket.
Yes.
I pronounced it phonetically once.
Yep. Jeez.
And that island is the territory of Thailand. And he says he made sure that his structure was in international waters. So he felt that he was totally sovereign and lawless. Thailand does not agree. They identified the man's floating pod as a new nation setting up in their own maritime territory, which is a threat to their coast and an act of war. So Chad and his wife are facing criminal charges in Thailand, and Thailand is threatening them both with the death penalty.
Whoa!
So they have abandoned their floating utopia, and they are now on the run from authorities that wish to kill them.
Jeez.
You know, some people get their kicks stomping on a dream.
Yeah, they sure do. Dun, 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 dun.
And that's the news for today, Friday, April 19th.
Double M-X-I-X.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is, little Marky Haney, telling it like it is.
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news. Oh, come on, one more time.
I know a fat old policeman.
You gonna join in, Dave?
Yeah, I will.
A fat old jolly red-faced man, he really is a treat. He's too kind for a policeman, he's never known to frown. And everybody says he is the happiest man in town.
We live our lives according to the biblical principle that it is far better to give than to receive. And the management here at Beasley is just fine with that arrangement. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey everybody, Stan and Haney. Thank you for spending your entire week with us. Greatly appreciated. Rob Show coming up at 6 o'clock. He is going to take you through your Good Friday evening. We have one more look at traffic for our drive home, and there's only one that can do it. Let's send it over to the goofball there. You.
That was good, Dave.
Yeah. I appreciate that, buddy. All right, all right, all right, man. It's Friday. Good Friday. Woo! Woo. Okay, let's start in Alva. We have a crash on State Road 31 and Bayshore Road, so you want to be on the lookout for that there. Two in Fort Myers report. First one's at Winkler Road and Cypress Lake Drive. And our second crash in Fort Myers is at Winkler Road and Gladiolus Drive. That'll do traffic another day, 39. Yeah, right. Same one.
Very sloppy.
Shut up, man.
Once again for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy like it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
I love the summer. My favorite time of year. Love it. Only thing I hate about the summer, I hate to see white people walking around with tans. I feel like they mocking me. I see them at the beach, they're like, we just gonna lay here, get darker and darker and darker. But we still white. That's messed up. Black people, we can't lay in the sun and get lighter and lighter. Like, we just gonna lay here, till we got good credit. Don't work for us like that. Don't work. White people always get scared when they see me walking down the street behind them, too. I hate that. I'm walking down the street, they see me, But I figured that's not entirely your fault. You know what it is? White people can't tell the difference between hard, honest, working black people and criminal black people. Because we all basically just dress the same. We all dress the same. We all basically wear jeans, boots, sometimes an occasional baseball hat. Y'all can't tell. But see, black people, we can just look at what a white person's wearing and tell, this guy's messed up. Get away from this guy. Because all the bad white people wear the same exact thing. Police uniforms, so.
Have yourselves a great weekend. Happy Easter to everyone. Lord willing, we'll be back here on Monday. We'll do it all over again. We are the Stan and Haney Show, 96K Rock, and we leave you this afternoon with this. Ahoy, who's this?
Hi, this is Billy.
Hi, Billy. How are you?
I got in trouble this week.
What happened?
Uh-oh.
I got in a fight at school.
Dude, did you win, bro?
Oh, yeah, I destroyed a little.
Right
hey,
on!
Hey, you a little. What, did you fight somebody younger than you, Billy?
No, about my age, but I blew him up.
You gave
he was bleeding from his nose and his ear.
Nice, you gave it to him.
He's a little puss.
Yeah.
And we got into a fight because he got real pushy about it because I said, there are only two biological sexes, a man and a woman.
Right on, Billy. Told him all about it, and he got all huffy on you, didn't he?
He started talking all kinds of crazy nonsense that gender is a construct of society. Ugh. And I said, F you, you're one or the other.
Right on.
What did the one you beat up and bleeding from the ears, what did he identify as?
Gender queer.
Oh, Billy.
You got you know what, Billy? I'm telling you right now, you know, you go and say that you're the bad guy for you must have got into huge trouble.
Oh, I think what really got me in trouble
what?
Is because I said there's only two genders and you're not very good at either one of them.
Ah,
right on.
I get into fights all the time. The last one I got in trouble because I said the earth is round.
Yeah, well, it is round.
It is round, Billy.
But nobody believes that.
So you're saying everybody your age believes in the flat earth?
Flat earthers. That's what they are, those flat earthers.
Because of YouTube.
You ever been on an airplane, Billy, where you go to across the other side of the globe? And sometimes when you're up high enough, you can actually see the curvature of the earth. Have you ever been on an airplane, Billy?
No, I've never been on an airplane, but I've read an S-load of science book.
Yeah,
right
well, there
on,
you go.
Man.
That's Dave, too. You got
right
a lot in common
on,
with him.
Bro.
He likes reading science books, you know, big lettered ones.
Oh, yeah.
And watching TV documentaries.
Absolutely, Billy. You like watching, like, Discovery and History?
Yeah, especially about explosions and demolitions.
Oh, man, that's where you get all your info from, bro. That's all the education you need, Billy. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, military school isn't going to do nothing for you, man. That's just a waste of your parents' money, man.
Yeah, reminds me of the time I got into a fight over at what temperature steel burned and the fact that only it could have been thermite.
Right,
9-1-1.
Yeah. All into that. I hear you, man.
I bet you
and
do.
Then I, said,
I bet you do,
I
Timothy.
Said, yeah, and then I got in trouble because I said, what about WTC7? And I said, and they said, you're not allowed to talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait a second. Are you into all of this conspiracy stuff, Billy? Is that what you're reading?
I look at YouTube, too.
Right, right,
you know,
right.
You shouldn't get all your information from that.
I only watch the good stuff.
I thought you go to school. They'll teach you about stuff at school, too. Don't read. Everything on Stan. YouTube isn't necessarily the truth, Billy.
School is a joke because they keep teaching the same things over and over again with different teachers. Most of it's about global warming and being gay.
Oh, forget all that, Billy. You know what you need to do, bro? You need to follow my path, Billy.
You.
Go to night school, bro. That's where the action is.
You know what?
Is.
You did bring up a point. Have you thought about night school, Billy, and just get out of the regular curriculum and just take classes at night?
Get out of daytime elementary. Get into nighttime elementary school, man. Or middle school.
Wait a second.
Middle school.
You went to nighttime elementary school?
Yeah, nighttime. Yep. Didn't even make it to middle school. He couldn't even be around with like the 8 and 9 year olds. They had to take him out.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know there was night school for elementary kids.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. They've got night school for
all. Are you
sure?
Oh, hold on. Are you sure? Did you go to night school, elementary
school? I didn't go to night elementary school, but that's like a night daycare, man, you know, sort of thing. So I'm sure that's there.
You didn't know, even know what you're doing.
Yeah,
are
I
they,
do.
So you say they're cooler at night school?
Of course, man. Come on. Night school's where it's at. That's why I said that's where the action's at. That's where the partying's at, bro.
It's where the chicks are.
The loose women, which you're all about.
So, Dave, check it out. If I went to night school,
yeah,
and I showed up for class with my T-shirt with an American flag, would I be sent home?
No way, bro. No. You'd be very much so welcomed.
You could even be like Dave and get tattoos on your back that say suicidal tendencies.
Yeah, bro.
Oh, bitchin'.
I'm telling you, man. Be just like me, buddy.
Yeah, be just like him. What a role model.
Because I wore a T-shirt that had an eagle and an American flag. It was really badass.
Right on.
And I got sent home because I'm a racist.
That is just not cool, Billy. Yeah. Night school's where it's at, bro.
Night elementary school.
Yeah.
Because I guess if you wear the American flag, it makes Mexican kids uncomfortable.
Yeah, it does. Yep. You ever thought about maybe being homeschooled?
Oh, hell no.
No.
I can't stand to be around that bitch.
You know why? Yeah, exactly. Your bitch mom would have to do that for you.
Yeah, friggin' lesbo.
I gotta go now, Billy.
Yep. She's a scissor queen.
I gotta go now.
Blue skies. Yeah. Every day's a gift.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.